Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to the Lord's house tonight. So glad you could make it back tonight. I know it's been a busy day. Amen. Time went by swiftly today. And so I do appreciate, and I know the Lord appreciates your faithfulness coming back to the Lord's house tonight. Seems like I'm starting to lose my voice. everybody says, amen. Right? It just seems like a lot of us are getting sick this time of the year. Many of us are sick and in the hospitals and what have you. And many are bedridden today, can't be with us. So we got to keep praying for one another. Keep each and every one of us on a prayer list. Like I say, I do think it sounds like I'm losing my voice. And pray for Sister Vicky. She's been having a hard time with her allergies or something coming on, whatever it is, but she's been coughing an awful lot this week and having a hard time getting good breaths. And be sure and pray for Pastor Veal. He didn't mention it. But be sure and pray for Pastor Veal. He goes in tomorrow for a bone scan. And Sister Harriet goes in tomorrow. Sister Geneva's going in tomorrow for eyes. So keep them in your prayer list while they're in those doctor's office. And pray for those that are sick and just pray for one another. Do you need the Lord tonight? Thank you for that good song, Sister Helen, and the other good singing. Praises to the Lord. Thanks for that testimony. Praise the Lord. We do need the Lord. So I thank you for that testimony and giving God the glory. That's what we're going to talk about tonight, giving God the glory. And just that testimony, we need God, that gives God glory. And God loves it. Praise the Lord. So I thank you for that testimony tonight that you do need God. We as children of the Lord, we need our Father. And praise the Lord. We do live in a me, so to speak, society today in this world. It's me. Everybody's, well, not everybody, but I mean the majority of this world are selfish. It's me. What can people do for me? Everything revolves around me. It's my wants. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the me mentality in this world. It's my wants. My needs, my happiness, my pleasures, so to speak. Well, I had to quit thinking like that for sure. I wasn't able to ask Vicky what she's going to cook for dinner tomorrow for me. I got to take her out tomorrow. Take her out tomorrow for her birthday. Take her up north for a few days for her birthday. Probably even have to take her and get her a spaghetti dinner. I'll probably have to eat spaghetti, but praise the Lord. but we live in that me society nowadays in this world. There was a speech given. It's not that long. I want to read it for you. It was given about America, the nation as a whole, and as a people. It says, we have been the recipients of the choicest bounties of heaven. We have been preserved the many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. Sound like our nation today? But we have forgotten God. We have forgotten the gracious hand which preserved us in peace and multiplied and enriched and strengthened us. And we have vainly imagined in a deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. Intoxicated with unbroken success, we have become too self-sufficient to feel the necessity of redeeming and preserving grace, too proud to pray to God that made us. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and pray for clemency and forgiveness. Quite a statement. That was spoken on April the 30th, 1863. That long ago, by President Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln spoke about the selfishness of people way back then. Can you imagine what it's like today? and as a proclamation for a national day of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Perhaps today, that's what we need to get back to. That's what this nation needs to get back to also. Realizing that we need God. God, this nation still needs God. We cannot do it on our own. God cannot bless America if we keep taking him out of everything. We were put on this earth by him, for him, and to return to him one day. And while we're here, we need to bring glory to God. That's why we're here, to bring glory to God, because he put us here. So God has an important lesson for us in our message tonight, that the world does not revolve around you and I. It revolves around God. This world revolves around God. It's all about God. Everything exists to reveal God's glory. He created all of that, everything in this world, to reveal his glory and that he get the glory. So that is the title of the message, To God Be the Glory. It's found in 1 Corinthians. Our text is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 30 through 33. Let's read that quickly again. Paul speaking here in verse 30, he says, "For if I by grace be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? For that which I give thanks. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." I call your attention to verse 31. Our key text verse tonight says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God." Amen. That means that God is commanding here. This is a command to you and I in this verse, that every aspect of your and my life, every aspect of it, what we do, eat, drink, work, play, wherever we go, whatever we do, God says, do all for the glory of who? God. Not self, but God. Do all for the glory of God. And so, we're not to do anything for self-glory. Never do anything for self-glory. To lift ourselves up, to want that pat on the back, so to speak. Do all for the glory of God. Paul said there in verse 33 now, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit." Paul thought of others. Paul was a servant, as you and I are supposed to be. We're to be a servant to others, to help others, to think of others. That brings glory to God. Paul was a servant. He thought of others. He said, "I don't do anything for mine own profit." But he says, "But the profit of many, that they may be saved." Paul here is speaking about, in our text here, Paul in his liberty, in his grace, he could eat meat, this meat. But the Jews, it offended him. It would offend them if Paul ate this meat. And so rather than offend these Jews, his fellow Jews, he would not eat that meat. He thought of them instead of his own needs. He thought of others. He thought of them. And by that, he's thinking, maybe I can just win them to the Lord. Amen. If I don't offend them, he's thinking about their soul. See, that's what we need to think about others. Think about their soul. And he says, if I don't offend them, there's nothing wrong with this. I have the liberty. I'm free to do that. But if it offends them, and I may not be able to win them to the Lord, so he wouldn't do it. And that's what we need to do. We need to try and win others. Think of others and win them to the Lord, that they may be saved. We're to do all for the glory of God. Chronicles chapter 16, verse 24 says, "Declare his glory. declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all the nations. When Paul didn't offend his fellow brethren there, his fellow Jews, and he told them about Jesus, he just might win them to the Lord, see. We are to declare the glory of God among the heathen so that they just might accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, win them to the Lord. Now, Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, that's when we're glorifying the Lord. When we're doing what we're supposed to as a child of God and giving glory to the Lord, that's pleasing God. And we need to please God. Because listen what happens. When a man's ways, this is mankind, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh, now listen to this, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Here we see the after effect of you and I glorifying God. When Paul glorified God by not offending his fellow Jews and eating that meat that he might win them, when he didn't offend them, he pleased God. And by that, their souls might be saved. And not only that, the after effect of him glorifying God is that God returned the blessings to him. See, God returned the blessings to him. When we glorify God, we have the after effect that the glory and praise and blessings come back to you and I also. God returns the favor, so to speak. And so he says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so this is just the multiple blessings that come back. It's like, exactly like the sow and reap principle in the Word of God. We think of others, we glorify God. When we glorify God, he returns the favor. We receive the after effects of that. We are praised and blessed also from God. He says, even our enemies he makes to be at peace with us. If our nation would get back to God, put God first, trust in God, God says, even our enemies will be at peace with us. Wouldn't that be a great after effect of glorifying God? Praise the Lord, I think so. We need to glorify God in all that we undertake and do. A great example of bringing glory to God is the three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The three Hebrew children, they brought glory to God. Great example for you and I. Here they are, captives in a foreign land, taken from their homeland over into Babylon into captivity. It wasn't their fault. They were godly boys, but they got carried away into captivity just like the rest of the Jews by Nebuchadnezzar. So here they were, captives in a foreign land. Remember that. Here they are in a foreign land, captives. Nebuchadnezzar had made this great image of gold. And that image was probably of his image. And at the sound of music, everyone was commanded to drop down on their knees and worship this image of gold, this image of Nebuchadnezzar. False idol, a false god. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to bow down. When that music started playing, they stood strong for their God. God Almighty, they gave glory to God. They stood strong, stood still. They wouldn't bow down to this false god. Daniel chapter 3 is where the story's at. Verses 16 through 18 tells us, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What they said, what he mean there, when we're not careful to answer you in this matter, he says, we don't have to think about it. Our mind's made up. We're not bowing down to your false god. Amen. Whoa, boy, can you imagine that? Here they are in a foreign land. It had been easy for them to say, well, nobody's watching. You know, I don't want to get in trouble. I'll just bow down to that old false god. It won't hurt anybody. Here they are in that the foreign country. Nebuchadnezzar ordered them to bow down. And at the sound of the music, he said, we don't even have to think about it. I'm standing strong for God Almighty, is what they said there in verse 16. And verse 17, He said, if it be so, our God, God Almighty, the God that we glorify, our God whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But then they said also, this really glorified the Lord. In verse 18, they said, but if not, if God doesn't deliver us out of that fiery furnace, if we get burned to a crisp, if we die, if we lose our life for glorifying God, for standing faithful to God, if we lose our life, he says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O King, that we will not serve you. We will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Whoa, can you imagine how that glorified God? When those three children stood up to the evil king and said, we will not serve your false God. Oh, how that glorified God. And you know the story. They picked him up, heated that furnace up, threw him in that furnace. And here they were in that burning fiery furnace. And then the king looked in, you know the story, and he saw four people walking around. Oh, God Almighty, right there in that fiery furnace with him. Brethren, just remember this. In your fiery furnaces, the troubles you go through in this life, God is with you. God is with you. When you need God the most, that's when he's with you the most. And they needed God, and they figured God would be in there with them. But they said, even if he's not, even if it's our time to go home, we will not worship your false gods. Oh, how they brought glory to God among the old king there. And of course, God was in there with them. And when they come out of that fiery furnace, verses 27 says, and the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, all of them. Can you imagine the crowd around there that witnessed that? Them standing up for their God. And the princes, governors, and captains, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed. Whew. Neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. Can you imagine that? They didn't even have the smell of smoke on them from going into that fire. Oh, can you imagine how God loved and protected them because they gave God the glory. And then it goes on and says, then Nebuchadnezzar spoke and said, now listen to this. This is the after effect of you and I standing strong for the Lord in any trials, tribulations, or whatever situation we find ourselves in. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar, brethren, saw the light. Whoa, how giving glory to God can get others saved. Where they can see the light that's in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When people see the light in you, that God is glorified, that's when they say, that's the God I want. Nebuchadnezzar said, that's the real God. Nebuchadnezzar said, that's the God I want. That's the God that they serve. Yeah. Whoa, he says. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted him. Are you trusting in the Lord tonight, brethren? Amen. Trust in the Lord always, and I say always. And have changed the king's word. Changed the king's word, can you imagine that? And yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. Therefore, listen to this, what King Nebuchadnezzar did. Because of three faithful children giving glory to their God, our God. Listen to what Nebuchadnezzar did. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, can you imagine all the people now, that all the people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill. Now listen to the statement that he makes. because there is no other God that can deliver after this sword. Brethren, there is no other God that can deliver you and I like God Almighty. Amen. Let's give Him glory. Let's give Him the glory that He deserves. And now we see the after effect. Now we see another after effect of those three faithful children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, standing up to the king and saying, "We will not bow to your false God." Now we see the after effect of their life. What happened to them for glorifying God? What happens to you and I when we give God the glory? What happens to you and I when we stand fast for the Lord? What happens to you and I when we don't bow down to false gods in this world? Listen to this. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Gave them top honors in that foreign country. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Whoa, they had an easy, blessed life while they were still stuck in that foreign country. And God will bless you and I when we stand up for Him. When we give Him the glory and honor that He deserves, God will bless us and God will promote us by that after effect. The sow and reap principle of God's word. Oh, how great it was how they stood up to the old King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, question. Why did God give you talents and abilities? Why does God give me talents and abilities? Why does God give you, His children, talents and abilities? Well, I'll answer it. It's not for you or me. It's not for us to receive the honor and glory. God gives you talents and God gives you abilities to serve Him so that He gets the honor and glory. Yeah. That honor and glory. Amen. Not for us to get the honor and glory for what we do, because we don't do it. God does it through us. We've got to remember that. It's not for us to get the glory that He gives us talents and abilities. Your success, any success that you have, any success that I have in life is for God's glory. Remember that. It's for God's glory, not ours. Great men and women sometimes start thinking, "Hey, I'm pretty important. Oh, I'm pretty important. I've made it. I've arrived." You know the saying, "I've made it, I've arrived, I'm pretty important." Some people get to thinking that way sometimes. They get the big head, so to speak. Heard that saying before, get the big head. Or as our mama or daddy used to say, your britches are too big for you. That saying there, that's an old saying. Well, even leaders and preachers get that tendency sometimes. We've got to watch out for that. Paul warned in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. So then, this is speaking about those talents and abilities that God gives us. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth. Now listen to this. But God giveth the increase. God giveth the increase. God gets the glory in our talents and abilities that he gives us. A preacher may give a great sermon. Oh, that was a good sermon, preacher. May give a great sermon. But God is the one that wins the soul. We must remember that. All that we do and say and serve in the Lord, God is the one that wins the soul. And even if the preacher gives a great sermon and souls walk the aisle, you all got to remember, it's a team effort. It's a team effort in the work of the Lord. Some of you are the arms. Some of you are the legs. Some of you are the mouth. We're all workers in the Lord's vineyard. Some plant, some water, and God gives the increase. We're all in it together. To God be the glory. To God be the glory, not self. We must not boast on what we've done. Don't ever boast on what we've done, but on what God has done through us. See, God uses us with those of talents and abilities to get those souls walking the aisle that he can win them to the Lord.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 31 says, "He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." So if you want to glory, boy, just glory on the Lord. Just keep on glorying for the Lord, praise God. And then any success you and I have is because of God's blessing. Any success that we have in this life comes from the Lord. It's His blessings upon our life. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." That's one of my favorite verses. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. We can do anything with Christ that strengthens us. But remember John chapter 15 and verse 5. "I am the vine," speaking of Jesus. "Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me," that abideth means live. You're living in Christ. You and I that live in Christ, we're living, we're alive in Christ. He says that "he that abideth in me and I in him." See, that's you, that unity. That's that unity in the Holy Spirit, how we live in Christ. Those that have that relationship with the Lord, he says, "the same bringeth forth much fruit." But he says, "for without me, ye can do nothing." You can do nothing. We need to remember that, brethren. When we want to boast, boast on the Lord. Glory in the Lord. Because with the Lord, we can do anything. But without him, we can do nothing. We need the Lord. Amen? Amen. We need the Lord. That's real success. When we are in the Lord, praise God. Not only is our success, but our struggles are to be used for the glory of God also. Even the struggles we face is to be for God's glory. There's a purpose for our struggles as a Christian. Why does God allow those troubles to come in our lives? There's many reasons, and we've preached about many different reasons at different times. Psalms chapter 50, verse 15 says, "And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt," what? "Glorify me." The troubles that we face, sometimes as a child of God, is simply to get us to call on His name more. It's to simply get us on our knees more. It's to simply talk to the Lord. Say, "Lord, I need you more than ever now. I need you more than ever right now. I'm facing a valley. I'm facing a real trouble in my life. I need you more than ever." It's to get us to call on Him more than ever. To call on His name more than ever. And He says, if you call upon me in the day of trouble, what does He say? What does He promise? "I will deliver thee. I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me." When we're delivered from our troubles, when you've prayed to the Lord and asked Him to help you, and the Lord has given you that help, do you end it right there? Or do you pray again and tell others and glorify God for what He's done in your life? Oh, that's what we need to do, is to glorify Him after He's delivered us from our times and troubles. Those hard times and troubles cause us to turn from me, me, me to God, God, God. Amen. See, many times I'm doing everything on my own. I'm doing it this way. I'm doing it that way. But then when the troubles come, we realize, no, I need God. Only God can help me through this. It's not me, me, me. It's God, God, God. Please help me. What happened when Job prayed? You know how Job had it. The troubles that Job went through. I don't imagine any of us could ever go through the troubles Job went through. But what happened when Job prayed? He kept the faith. What happened? He was delivered. Amen? When Job prayed and his time of troubles was over, God delivered him. And not only did He deliver him, but what? He gave him twice as much as he had lost. Twice as much as he had had before by remaining faithful. What happened when Mary and Martha glorified God? They kept the faith. Oh, they said, "Oh, our brother Lazarus has died." And they prayed that Jesus come. And Jesus came, and Mary and Martha was praying. They kept the faith. And Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came out of that tomb alive. Oh, how they got the glory. God got the glory because Lazarus came forth out of that grave. God got the glory from that. And not only that, but the word tells us that many believed. Many were saved because of that. Mary and Martha's faithfulness and praying and giving God glory. What happened with Noah? You know about Noah. How he built that boat, that ark. Day in and day out there he was, building that ark. Day in and day out. Never rained. And the people were mocking him and laughing at him. Have you ever had that happen to you before? You get mocked at when you try to tell people about the Lord, and they laugh at you for coming to church. What are you wasting your time coming to church and all this and that? And they're mocking at you and laughing at you. They were mocking and laughing at Noah. What are you wasting all your time serving that God? Why are you wasting your time building that boat? It ain't going to rain. Guess what, brethren? God said it was going to rain. And it rained. And what happened to Noah because he kept the faith? What happened to Noah and his family because he believed? What happened to Noah because he prayed to God? Oh, Lord, just help me keep building this boat. Don't let me give up. Just let me keep building that boat. Because he believed and because he trusted and because he kept his faith, they were delivered. Amen. They didn't drown like all the others did. Noah and his family were saved. Plus all those animals, praise God. Don't give up when you're ridiculed and mocked. You keep giving God the glory and going on and serving the Lord. Now lastly, your body. Our bodies is to be used for God's glory. Do people see God in you? Do you have that light in you? Do you let your light shine for the Lord that others might see the Lord in you? Our body is to be used for God's glory. Quickly here, I like the cartoons in the newspaper. I read some of those sometimes. You know about Charlie Brown and Lucy and all them, don't you? Charlie Brown and Lucy and Linus are lying on the ground, looking up into the sky. And Lucy says, if you use your imagination, you can see lots of things in those cloud formations. What do you think you see, Linus? Linus responds, well, those clouds up there look like the map of the British Honduras on the Caribbean. And that cloud looks a little like the profile of Thomas Eakins, the famous painter and sculptor. Boy, he was an imaginer, wasn't he? And that group of clouds over there gives me the impression of the stoning of Stephen. I can see the Apostle Paul standing here to one side. Boy, that Linus could see a lot in those clouds. Lucy congratulates him. Uh-huh. Boy, that's very good. What do you see in the clouds, Charlie Brown? Charlie Brown replies, well, I was going to say I saw a ducky and a horsey, but I changed my mind. He didn't have a very big imagination. He couldn't see much in those clouds. What do people see in you when they look at you? What do people see in me when they look at me? Do they see God in you? Does they see a spiritual person when they see you? They need to. God says, let your light so shine that others might see Christ in you. See, we need to let our light shine for the Lord. Our body is to be used for God's glory. We need to ask ourselves some questions right now. Using our body. Is my behavior constructive to other people? Letting our light shine, in other words. Am I looking out for self or for other people? Does my behavior, what I do, the things I do day in and day out, does my behavior point others to Christ? Or does it point them to the world? Does my behavior cause others to stumble? If Paul had ate that meat that offended the Jews, they would have stumbled. they would have never accepted Jesus. Do what we do cause others to stumble? In using our bodies, our words should point others to Christ. Our actions should point others to Christ. And our attitude should point others to Christ. In closing tonight, I'll ask you again. Let's examine ourselves tonight now. Is our behavior constructive to other people? Are we looking out for self all the time or for other people? Does my behavior point others to God? Does my behavior cause others to stumble? Does our words point others to Christ? Does our actions point others to Christ? And does our actions point others to Christ? Let's examine ourselves tonight. If we're lacking in any of these areas, let's come and get it right with the Lord tonight. Let's all stand. And the biggest question of all, though,